They are trying to hard count. Here's the snap. Fourth and five. Jones flushed out, rolling to his left, looking, rolling, running, throwing on the run to the sideline. The Giants think he caught it.
Wow.
Did he catch it? No, now another one comes in and says incomplete.
Throwing the field is an incomplete pass. Dallas will take over first and 10.
Ball game. See you later. Cowboys win. Dak Prescott with his 13th straight W over the New York Giants. And we're talking about it with the Cowboys Friday here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. They checking neighbors for a concussion on that?
Yeah, they are.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was in, Brian Burns was at his locker doing media last night, and Jordan Renan said from ESPN that in the middle of it, he like called out to the other side of the locker when he saw Malik Nabers, and he was like, Malik, are you good? And that Malik Nabers just looked over, shook his head, and walked off.
Shook his head no,
walked off, went to talk to Brian Daboll.
That's a bad man. I'm glad he's on my fantasy teams. 12 for 115. He was targeted 15 times. What was your scouting report, and what was the scouting report on him coming out? Because this looks like Odell 2.0 for them.
Yeah, I mean, he was an absolute stud. Like, he was absolutely, when you looked at the top three receivers there, when it was Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Rome Odunze, a lot of people felt like any of those three, you can stack them however you want, and they're really good. But there was definitely like a late push for Nabers as being a guy who some people thought was even better than Harrison, and it's because of the way that he attacks the football, the physicality, the way that he can work in space. He is just, he's got the elusive lateral speed. He's got all that sort of stuff, but he's still big and he's really physical. And I know for a lot of people, they felt like he was you mentioned Odell Beckham. A lot of people, I think, felt like he was kind of a Terrell Owens starter kit, if you want to get that, in terms of a guy who, he's pretty big, and he's got room to fill out. He's not as big as T.O. was, but he's big and he's physical. The play style, the way that he moves and the way that he like breaks tackles, it's very similar.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't think there was any size comparison myself, but he is a freaking stud. But he's getting checked for the concussion after what happened last night. All right, your star up, your star down, brought to you by Crown Royal. Proud to be the official whiskey of the NFL. We have to get to our star downs and your phone calls here on Sean and RJ. All right, my star downs, the three and out after taking the ball. That was very uninspiring. Andrew Booth. I tweeted, get him off the field, and then I backtracked and said, oh, I forgot, everyone's hurt. So he has to be out there. And by the way, before we leave the neighbor stuff, props to Diggs, because it seemed like Trayvon started traveling with him. And it was like, all right, because a lot of Tolos early on were like, yo, man, you paid Diggs, Mike Zimmer, what are you doing? Diggs should be with neighbors every single play. And it seemed like that started to happen in the second half.
Yeah, he looked like he was moving around a little bit more. I did notice there were a couple times where, I don't know if it was the motion or the way that they were setting things up, that Diggs ended up on the other side of the formation from where he normally is, and Nabers wasn't over there. And so I don't know if that was just a schematic thing where they were adjusting some stuff and got the Cowboys caught, but it did look like he was following him more as an adjustment when it was like, we got to do something about him.
And you had texted us at halftime, if Brian Daboll does not target Booth every single play, that is negligence. Nabers got him on the first drive for 39. He fell against Slayton with a gain for 28. Third and eight, they went to neighbors against him. They got to keep him away from the field. He has to go, probably.
I mean, honestly, the thing I thought was like, that's enough to get you cut. I feel like go find somebody else to play. Call somebody up from the practice squad. That he's not going to cut it.
Is their practice squad littered with players like that?
I mean, you've got Oruwariye, you've got Keeman Hall on the practice squad. You've still got Israel Mukwamah who can play corner. I mean, they're bodies you can put out there, and he is right now just a body. So
what about the night for Tyler Guyton? Hold on second and goal from the five, a dumb football suicide play. I actually don't know on that one if that was the best call. We'll get to the referees later on.
Shocker.
Get to the referees later on. Al Somnia Choppy. But you go from the 5 to the 15. He held Thibodeau before the half. Third and one hold. Like, this, do I have to apologize to Chime Udoga and the Cowboys offensive line coach who did not want Guyton to start off the year?
I don't know. So It did not. It was not good. It was really bad. He was the top star down for me. Was Tyler Guyton, because it was three holding calls. It was pressures that he was giving up. Now, the note from Next Gen Stats is like, this is the lowest pressure rate ever given up in a game in the history of Next Gen Stats tracking. They gave up 14% pressure in this game. But
the
Cowboys
offensive line had the greatest Next Gen performance ever.
Yep,
in pass protection.
The note yesterday, which is again why I say it's a little like, okay, how exactly are we defining some of this? Because it didn't look that good. But yeah, the Giants produced a 14.3% pressure rate. That's the lowest by any team, and not in the air. It's this season.
14.3%.
I imagine all of those came from Guyton, because Guyton just. It seemed like
he was fine.
Guyton, I know, gave up. I think at one point Amazon had the note up that Guyton had given up four pressures in the game already. And so that must have been all of it right there. But Guyton was not good yesterday. He is somebody who there have been a couple times where I thought he played worse than when I watched the tape back. I'm like, oh, okay, he played better. But this yesterday with all of the penalty issues and then a lot of the communication stuff, it just he was very clearly the weak link yesterday. And he wasn't even the one taking burns most of the time.
I mean, he was, and that's look. That's part of it is you know, rookie. Because I'll tell you this: this team does not miss on offensive linemen generally that they pick high.
Yeah,
generally that they do not miss on offensive linemen. So my assumption is that he will be fine eventually. It's not we're not there yet.
Let's get to some of the Tolos on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Rick in Maybank. Rick, you are live on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Go ahead.
Morning, fellas. So, Bobby.
well done.
Hey, Sean, this is your wall spray guy, man.
Oh, what's up, brother?
Not that much. So my big star down is the referees and not, to me, still showing Dallas still hasn't, shown me a lot yet. They played a little better on defense speed-wise, but how really good or bad is the Giants also? Let's see now.
Yeah, they're bad.
They're boring too.
They're boring. Man, it gotta suck being a Giants fan. That's what I wanted to ask Paul Schwartz yesterday. How much now Jets versus Giants talk is there in New York with Rodgers there and how boring New York is? And you were right about Daboll. You're wrong about Sirianni, but you're right about Daboll. Man, I want to punch him in the face. Good God. He looks like, and right now I feel like I could take him because he lost all that weight on the Pilates. Jason and Mesquite. I believe where the KNC masterpiece will be today, broadcasting from Buffalo Wild Wings. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I want to star up Jerry Jones for continuing us to sell us this garbage and star down for the fans that we keep buying it and eating it up. I got to tell you, boys, we got three slackens coming in the next 3 weeks, and I can't wait to see the chaos and the turmoil that's gonna come from it.
Shellackings, you said.
Yeah.
All right, I like the term.
Pittsburgh, Detroit, and 49ers.
Yeah, you don't know what Atlanta is. In Atlanta, then the Eagles, and then the Texans. Last night just staved off the Heat. That's all that did.
Yeah, and I mean, look, again, there are certain things about it that you've got to give them credit for. A lot of it, though, is just, okay, you didn't fix an issue. It's just you went up against a bad team. It's still not sustainable. There's still things about it that are questionable, but you've got... Shoot, Justin Fields coming up, the Detroit Lions run game, the 49ers run game, then Bijan Robinson, then Jalen Hurts and the Eagles run game with Saquon Barkley. I mean, they've got a tough stretch of running backs coming up.
And then the Giants, their offensive line's been in shambles for 10 years now, at least.
Casey and Shiner. Casey, you're next up on 105.3 The Fan. Go ahead, boss.
Hey, man, shout out to that last caller because he was absolutely right. But my star down is the play calling. Mm. The play calling we have for our $100 million quarterback and our $100 million receiver is very lame. Like, we're calling plays for a JV football team, it looks like. And that's all I got.
Thanks for the call, Case. Am I the only one who feels like, it's CD or nothing, and it's like force-feeding Lamb, too?
It is. I mean, Cooks had that one play down near the red zone.
Yeah. Why would a team, again, Belichick, why would a team just not double him? Every single play.
Yeah, and I mean,
harder to do from the slot. Like, if you take CeeDee Lamb out of it, it's a little bit of Ferg and nothing.
Well, you do have to account for Hunter Lipke when he's on the field. Right. So when Lipke's on the field, when Lipke's on the field, you're going to have to commit two defenders right there. but, yeah, he is obviously a main focus for any defense Lamb is going to be, because that is their biggest weapon. Tolbert has not shown an ability to do anything to threaten you. Cooks is, I don't know what the issue is with Cooks. If it's a Cooks thing, if it's a scheme thing, if it's a Dak thing, there's just something not right there. They can't get him working no matter who the opponent is. But I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of schematic questions, I think, right now.
Cooks is, yeah, Cooks is, I think he's just getting old. Tolbert, I was disappointed last night. I had him 28 and a half on the over-under, on the yards. 28 and a half. And he got to 24. And he had been money this year. I think he hit the over in every game so far on his yard total. So I was kind of pinpointing that. So a little disappointed, because I think on that third and 12, there's some people that were saying he was supposed to run a different route, maybe ran the wrong route on that third and 12 that went to Lipke. But you got to get more. I'm going to need more than 24 yards. I needed 28 and a half. I needed 29.
Should have bet the over under 1.5 penalties on him with his early early flags. Casey in Waxahachie. Casey, you're next up on Sean and RJ.
Yeah, I got a star down for Mike McCarthy. I understand Tyler Guyton is a rookie, but I don't understand how they cannot get that guy some help. A chip block here and there, something. They're just leaving him out there to die. And I don't understand why they can't get Deuce involved a lot more. I mean, Zeke's running like he qualifies for AARP or something.
Thanks for the call. Ooh. Watt, Hutchinson, Bosa around the corner.
Oh, baby.
For Guyton and Steele.
Well, I mean, Choppy will tell you we don't have to worry about Watt. So that one, you're fine.
You know?
But more on that at 840. Chop, you're going to be set straight. But, I mean, yeah, I was surprised Deuce Vaughn only got four snaps yesterday.
Deuce Vaughn sucks.
I'm just saying.
All right, let's just stop. I wanted it to work out. It was cute. I fell for the preseason. He hasn't done anything. Like, he has a little bit of elusiveness. He probably has the breakaway speed more so than any other back in there. He's done nothing. So, if anything, he's been on the field too much. So I disagree with the last total from that standpoint. He can go.
I'm still surprised, though, that they did with the screens that they were running. So they ran more screens than they had. I'm surprised Vaughn wasn't out there for that more.
Did Turpin get a touch last night?
I don't remember him getting one. Let me look.
Wes in Corpus Christi. Wes, you're up next here on The Fan. Wes? No, he gone. Derek in Dallas. Derek, you're taking over Wes's spot. Go ahead.
Hey, Sean, RJ, how's it going? Bobby, how you doing too, man?
Great.
My star down is going to be Guyton. They need to get some help over there with that guy. I know he got some more developing to do. But my star up is Hunter Lucky. That guy's looking like another weapon to me.
Thank you for the call. We're going to have to make
Lugie.
Hunter Lugie.
Hunter Lugie.
Yeah. We're going to have to get him on the show.
Did you?
Need to get him some shine.
I'm not a fan of I'm a big fan of Dak Prescott. I've not been a fan of the Dak Prescott nicknames, though. So his nickname apparently last night that he revealed for Hunter Lipke is Fiasco. Like Lipke Fiasco, like Lupe Fiasco. I think it's a stretch.
Okay.
I think it's a stretch.
What about, it's clever.
What about his nickname for Carson being Seatbelt?
I don't think that's a good one either. It restricts the defense. You. I don't know how that one works. I don't like Butter Aubrey either. It's just I would take the nicknaming responsibilities away from him.
I'm trying to evaluate and judge how good you are in judging nicknames.
Why? You think those are great nicknames?
No, I don't think they're great, but I don't know. It's like me evaluating college quarterbacks. I don't tell you who's good. I just drag them down. I haven't heard you throwing out any great nicknames yourself. You just crap on
everyone. Okay, you know what? I'm going to, over the next little bit, when we're in the commercial breaks, by 8:40, I'm going to have nicknames for all three of those people that Dak has already nicknamed, and we will see if mine are better.
All right, there you go. What a tease for B-Low,
B-Bell.
Were the referees the problem or a Mike McCarthy football team? The commercial-free expressway with our final giveaway of the week. Boys the Men tickets sending you into the weekend. Say it like Boys the Men with the Oh Baby.
Oh Baby.
There you go. Next.
From the 45, first down. Shotgun. Good blitz pickup. And Prescott down the left side. Lamb broke the tackle. 35, outrun three men into the end zone. Touchdown, CeeDee Lamb.
Star up, CeeDee Lamb, especially for that first half. Second half, what happened? One catch, for 4 yards, but the Cowboys get the win 20-15 in New York. This is the Commercial Free Expressway on a Cowboys Friday, leading you into the weekend with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell. This was CD after the game talking about not letting the Ravens game affect him this week.
Man, just sticking to my gun, obviously, and again, believing the person I am and the player that I am. I have the utmost, you know, belief in myself and my ability and my talent, and so does the coaches. So, again, everything that transpired last game was not personal. It's my will to win, and I love to win. I hate to lose.
So there's CD, obviously, with the biggest play of the game, kind of, you know, making more out of what that catch should have been. CD Lamb, 55-yard touchdown. He had 5 for 85 early. Let's talk about, well, before we get to the referees, I want to get to some of the Tolos on Twitter. Here we go from Rob.
X, sorry,
Elon.
Has anybody called, like, no. Other than like seeing it in, a, in an article where they have to call it X now?
Dawson calls it X. I've heard him every time he sets it up, he says X.
He's just being difficult.
Yeah. Rob, what an embarrassing win. Poorly coached with the amount of penalties. Offense barely converted against a poorly depleted defense. And Jones is terrible at quarterback. This team loses its next 6. Check the schedule. Sharif, this is from Curtis. Sharif, we both missed on Cooks. Wide receiver is a bigger need than I expected. Also, Rico needs to start getting 15-plus carries a game. This is from Hodler. I just don't see how people are, and mostly ESPN and media, and for some reason, Bobby, loving Dak so much. He's not great. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he is not great. How are we grading? We've been doing this with Dak, and we've all pretty much been on the same page. How are we grading Dak's game last night?
He was fine.
No, I mean, I thought that was clearly the best game he's played this year in terms of just the efficiency, the way he was in command and getting through his progressions. I don't like how everything is pretty intermediate, but I thought in terms of going out there with a plan to attack the defense and not being timid early, that was as good as he's looked this year.
Grades?
B+?
A minus.
I'll go B.
B? Yep.
B. Efficient and taking, I guess, what was there. This offense, just it's got no juice. It's got no explosiveness. It's got no danger to it. I don't know whether that's, you know, too high. NFL trend, I don't know, lack of weapons. I could go B plus. I could go B plus, but you still scored 20 points. you scored 20 points, yeah. and the Giants scored on more drives. And I give that touchdown credit more to Lamb. I'm not insulting Dak on this. CeeDee Lamb like made that play. That was to me about CeeDee Lamb as a player.
I give that touchdown credit more to the Giants. That I mean, because unfortunately, like for CD, his 2 long touchdowns this year both came off of what are probably tackles 7 out of 10
Deontay Banks stopped chasing him at like the 25.
Yeah.
That was about the laziest pursuit I think I've ever seen.
Rich and only observations. Dak was great. Still need creative / motion on offense. O-line was better. Still work in progress. Defense showed a spine. Lack of pass rush is a problem. Reliance on Aubrey is a problem. Need a speed deep threat. So a good write up there from Rich.
Did you feel like the Giants were like a really explosive offense yesterday?
No.
Yeah, they had 4 of the 5 longest plays on offense in this game.
So the Cowboys' longest was obviously Lamb.
Yep.
And then, oh, so the neighbors down the left side, Singletary, like
neighbors,
a 15-yard.
Neighbors, Slayton, Tracy screen pass, and then the other neighbor's pass. And then the next biggest finally was Cooks on the 16-yarder.
Mike Leslie got audio of Tyler Guyton walking down the hallway saying, the NFL needs better refs, please. So I'm going to have to go and see if this is good enough audio to play, but this is Guyton calling out the refs as Al Michaels did all last night.
It was awful. I'm sorry. Like that is that they made that an unwatchable game. I mean, they had like 12 penalties in the first half. So you're going to have 20 something penalties on average in a game. It kills the flow. It ruins the game. It's just too much. The NFL.
Cowboys had 9 flags in the first half.
Yeah.
9.
That's for one side. Yeah, should have been 10.
Should have been 10 with that face mask.
Yep, that they called on
the Giants. There was nothing on the Giants on that.
Yeah, and that brought back a big play.
That was a huge break.
But, you know, the NFL is, if nothing else, first and foremost about entertainment. if nothing else. Like that's that, like if you were to ask the people in the ivory towers of the NFL, what do you want out of your football games? The number one thing they say, I want eyeballs because I want it to be entertaining. And you cannot have an entertaining football game when it is bogged down by referee calls. Now, if they're legitimate,
let me play devil's advocate.
Yeah, if they're legitimate calls like false starts, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. Offside, but I mean, you can get some like on that one that you talk about, the face mask and some holding calls. It's, I don't know, bogs it down.
Did you think the refereeing was bad?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was clearly bad. I don't think it was. There seemed to be an idea from Cowboys fans of like it was super slanted against them. I don't think it was that.
Yo, Cowboy fan, be happy with the way the beginning of that game went. Seriously, you got the breaks. It was 2-1 early on, heavily favored towards the Cowboys, catching the referee breaks.
Yeah, you got the referee breaks. I mean, the first touchdown was able to stay on the board because they picked the flag up that they had initially thrown on BB. So there were some breaks there.
The Ferguson, should that have been a hold on Ferguson?
Yeah. I mean, Guyton honestly could have probably gotten more holding calls. I don't know how much he can be complaining right now. But yeah, the officiating I thought was overall just bad and not consistent. Even that catch on the sideline with Neighbors where they can't agree on, like, the guy comes and goes, oh, he caught it. It's like, no, he didn't even, we're not even talking about the toes. He didn't catch the ball.
The lamb taunt was kind of weird.
That was weird. That was weak.
Unless we didn't see.
Yeah, throwing the ball. Maybe the official was near there and he could hear him say something. Man, let them. I'm gonna let them play. Just let them play, man. Let them have fun.
Exactly. That's how I view it. Now, did you see the Tyler Smith quote post game about the refs?
No.
They asked him about the officiating because everybody's having issues with it. He said, "I'm not gonna say it. Goodell protects those guys like Gotti."
Oh man.
I'm impressed that he knew the reference.
I know that's good, but I'm still surprised. He says, "I'm not gonna say it," but then he basically says it.
This is Guyton. Welcome back to the locker room.
NFL needs better refs, please.
You get fined for that? Well, either of those guys get fined for that like you win the NBA? I don't think so.
I don't know if you... I'm just saying they need better ones. I don't know that the league would necessarily slap your wrist for that one.
Mafia reference with the commissioner?
That one might get him in a little more trouble unless they just are like... No, I don't. There's no way to really justify that. I would think the league is not going to like that he said that.
Mike McCarthy's message to the locker room after the win.
It's just looking at
I think we do a really good job internally, focus on what we're doing every day. I think sometimes our guys, they give honest answers to the questions from the externals. And, sometimes there's things that are said that really don't reflect the way it is internally. These guys didn't blink. They came in here Monday. I thought they were very accountable. I think this is as healthy as a locker room leadership group that we've had in my time here. And I think everything that needed to be said was said, as I told you all on Monday. I know what came out of that and the narratives outside of the locker room. That's, I don't really have a comment on it because I don't referee it. But I really like the way our locker room, has handled this week. Obviously we didn't feel good on Sunday and we did what we needed to do prep-wise and came in here and got this win.
What is he mad about? What is he? There's something lingering there. What's wrong?
I 100% agree with him that the narrative inside the locker room is a lot of times not the one that we're getting publicly. It's just not in the way that Mike probably thinks or that Mike is presenting.
Which, I mean, do we expect them to tell you exactly what the narrative coming out of the locker room is?
No, but for him to talk about like, I think you guys are creating drama that doesn't exist. It's like, I think there's been plenty of times during your 5 years here where drama has been tamped down significantly from the way it is internally.
Oh, I have no doubt, but I think every coach does that.
I know, but it's silly to like point to it as like, here's an example of how you guys don't know what you're talking about. It's like, really? Because I mean, if you want to talk about who's really benefited from things not being the same way internally that they're being presented externally, it's been the way that you've handled this locker room.
But for anyone over there, maybe this isn't the case. I could be misreading it. For anyone over there to be butthurt or sensitive about the coverage of them in the last 2 weeks, you're just an oversensitive damn fool. Anyone. And there's enough people that we know over there who don't have a problem with it and they do have their feet on the ground. You can't be historically bad and have us kissing your ass. So, like, getting all butthurt about it, I think Mike is even butthurt that these guys answer the questions, like, honestly, like Micah Parsons has been doing. Like, that actually makes us like you a little bit more when you're like, We need accountability. We need to not have people being superheroes. I think Mike is ticked off about the coverage. He sounds like it, at least in that clip and earlier in the week. Ticked off about the coverage. They're answering y'all's questions. You can't be historically bad. Like, this is not a, I can see, this is 50-50. You're like the worst rush defense in the history of the organization over the past 2 or 3 weeks. You're getting stomped out and embarrassed and exposed as not a true contender against good teams. What do you want us to say? How do you want people to talk about you? You know what? You can own it or you can be sensitive about it. Like, come on now.
This is the...
Come on.
The block out the noise narrative.
Am I wrong in misreading the way it sounds?
No, so. No, not at all. And I do like, again, I don't know.
Props to Micah. Props to Lamb. Props to Dak. Jerry's the one spinning it. Mike's the one like getting upset about it. Jerry's the one pretending like it's not reality. Steven is even a little bit more realistic. So props to like Dak and CeeDee and Tank and Micah for not treating us like we're stupid.
The moment something comes, like it, there is a point, like I get it, you know, protect, deflect. The moment though that it, like the players or something starts to come out that there's cracks, you're better off just not kind of sugarcoating everything.
Yeah, and this is the second time he's gone off on something about, you know, I think they do as good a job as they can with like the questions you guys throw. Like, it's almost like, okay, so you're saying that this is just them struggling to come up with answers to bad questions that were asked because you want to deflect from what they're saying about your culture, which is it's not good and that they're not detail oriented and that they're this or they're that. And instead of saying, oh, I got to fix this, this is clearly a problem.
Yeah.
It's instead, you know what? This
is going to keep baiting.
This is the fault of the externals. I've never heard him refer to outside questions as the externals. But look, that's his, as Choppy said last week, this is his, or earlier this week, it's the us versus them trying to create a bunker mentality. Just maybe get your own house in order so that you can create an us.
Which I'm all for. I'm all for the bunker mentality. Go ahead. Whatever you got
to
do.
Let me give props to Micah Parsons, who after the game said this.
Yeah, you know, I told you, winning is important. It's hard to do in this league. So, you know, edged out a 2015 win, but it wasn't perfect. You know what I'm saying? I'm done scraping by. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to scrape by no more. I want legit wins. I want to win consistently. And we got a tough matchup next week. Yeah, I'm going to try to get back for it.
Props. That's how every single fan feels, except for Fifth Gen, who just texted me. Bro, y'all's negativity this morning is a beating. They won a road game and a short game after playing against one of the most physical teams in the league.
The Giants are not one of the most physical teams. No. Like, you can make that up. I mean, Baltimore's not even one of the most physical teams.
I think he's talking
about the Ravens. Baltimore played physical. Baltimore, in reality, just like you were bad against Baltimore. It's not like they got completely run down against Baltimore. Eric Kendricks wasn't seeing things. Guys weren't prepared, in large part because of a head coach who thinks that everything's just hunky-dory in there and that it's some like media-driven created narrative, which, by the way, he knows is not true.
My issue
He knows that's not true. This is a CYA, like, got to shift the narrative because I cannot have publicly it be assigned to me.
My issue with the game, because generally I don't style point road wins. I don't do that. The Cowboys, over the years, with this group, especially with this quarterback, have dominated the division, home or road. Doesn't matter where it is. They've dominated the Giants. The Cowboys struggle, we all know this, against A, good teams, and B, teams they're not familiar with. That's what has made them struggle under McCarthy with Dak. This is not one of those games. That's why it's a little bit bland for me today. It's a blah win.
It's a blah for everyone.
Yeah,
except for like this guy, and this guy is Fifth Gen TX. You're the problem that the majority of fans have with like just the blue belly homer. You're the problem accepting a lower standard. Like, it's good. It's good that, in my opinion, fans are like, that was a scrape by. Like, let's move on. It's W, good, check it off. But what, this ain't St. Louis radio. Acting like you sat there and won a playoff game like they would do over there.
No, I would expect if they don't want us, if the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, Jerry, if they want to if they expect us not to overreact to, look, it's so early and we can't take anything away from, you know, those losses and anything else, then I'm damn sure not going to overreact to what you did last night against the Giants. And I'm not going to give it that credence. I'm going to say the same thing back to you. If you say, well, why are you being critical? I'm going to say the same thing. It's early and you're not showing anything different of real substance from what you've done to this point in the season. So, no, you don't get to just reverse what's been done to this point.
877-881-1053. In order to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. Pepe, it's Friday, so let's do it a little bit early and hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on with our final giveaway of the week.
All right, Tolo's up right now. Call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Boys to Men at Toyota Music Factory on October 13th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
You were waiting for that one?
Oh, all week. Bobby and I were talking about we can get this entire week without hearing End of the Road and I'll Make Love to You, because Peyton has never heard of this band.
Which we did not get End of the Road. We did not get we One not. Sweet Day.
Back to the Cowboys at 8 o'clock on your home of America's team. Let's get to the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it! Stories we were not able to cover Monday through Thursday. We're going to do it right here on DFW Sports Station. I guess we should start with our group project. Did everyone watch the latest Aaron Hernandez on FX?
Oh,
was that FX? I thought that was a website that you need a credit card and your driver's license to watch in the state of Texas now.
it
was very graphic.
Kids, earmuff parent warning for the next 10 seconds.
I think, you know what? No, we're good. I think almost all high school, I think you just got high school kids who aren't in yet. I know my kids are in, my middle schooler, he's already in class, and elementary's already in. So you just got high schoolers, and they know this stuff.
Name of the episode was...
Did you say the first? We could just say, we just go around the room, each saying the one word.
Pray.
The.
Gay.
Away.
There you go.
Landed on Bobby with the gay. Pray the gay away.
Do not pull that as a drop.
So I'm sitting there. I timed it out so that Peyton's on the phone with the winner so he couldn't hear what we were saying. But I'm going on the guide and everything, and I'm going down to this, and Amanda walks by, and she stops in her tracks. She goes, pray the gay away.
Pray the gay away.
And I was like, yep, that's what it is. But I think this has been a pretty good series. This one was kind of about Tim Tebow saving him while at Florida.
That was one part of the story I had no idea. No idea.
Still don't, when I watch it, I'm like, I don't know how much of what I'm watching is actual reality, how much they're exaggerating. I don't know how much, did Tebow have a heavy impact?
So Tebow very rarely will discuss Aaron Hernandez in public, but like some of this is well documented. The bar fight in the first episode, Tebow did break that up. Tebow's the one who contacted the lawyer, whatever his name is. I can't remember what they have his name in the show.
Yeah, the fixer.
But he's the one who contacted him and said, hey, he needs some help. We got to get down here. But Tebow, I think generally the reports from people who were around that team were that, I didn't know this whole religious angle as aggressive as it was, but Tebow was somebody who looked out for him and tried to help him out.
And this is about Aaron Hernandez, like, turning good, going to church, cutting out the drinking, cutting out the marijuana, and then when he, like, goes back home to visit his mom, who's living with the other dude, you kind of see him turning back a little bit. He wants to return to Florida. Urban Meyer's feeling the stress of all the arrests, all the drama, and Urban's having his heart attack, and Urban's like, I got to start over with a clean slate, and basically tells Aaron Hernandez, I don't want you to come back. Because I need to start over with some Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Go to the NFL.
You're starting to see the Urban, you saw the Urban panic attacks, which is like, okay, they really dove into that angle a little bit. Because now you see like, oh, he's about ready to bolt.
Yeah, I gotta say, this is like a sub story of the Urban Meyer time at Florida, where I'm surprised how much time has been devoted to like scenes away from Aaron Hernandez completely, where it's just Urban talking to his wife or Urban dealing with the school. And like there, that is a like full subplot that I think has been really interesting, actually.
But you never see a coach who's got a All-American, two-time All-American and the Mackey winner tell him, I don't want you back here.
Right.
You don't see that. And the line at the end, he's either going to Hall of Fame or he's going to prison. What a line.
Well, I don't think this that I just sprayed in my mouth on the fan cam, I don't think this should be sold over the counter.
Let me see this.
Holy crap.
Are you lightheaded or something?
No, my whole mouth is numb.
Oh.
I did not think.
Well, it says numbing.
It says numbing, but I didn't think, like, it's a sore throat spray, and my right side of my mouth is paralyzed.
So you just got drool going down here in a second?
It's literally like I got the needle at the dentist's office. I'm impressed.
That's cool.
Now, I'm very impressed.
You're like Kramer in the Jimmy episode.
That's right.
One of the things we heard when we had talked to the producer and Josh Rivera about this was they had said that, hey, this isn't all going to be negative. There's some positivity here. There's some triumph, yada, yada, yada. Have you felt at all yet like they're making Hernandez out to be more of a sympathetic figure than you thought?
Not really.
No, because
it started off pretty harsh, and then it's kind of the last episode was kind of like good, but then we're about to get harsh again.
Yeah, and obviously none of the really awful stuff has really occurred yet, but I do feel like they've laid the foundation for he had a lot of head injuries. It kind of changed his personality. He had a rough upbringing, like you see in these natural moments where he's just a sweet guy. And to be fair, that's the way people have represented him. They represent him as a very conflicted individual.
Well, I mean, you know, I think if you're going to do a 10-part series, you got to tell the story. Like, if he had a rough upbringing and he had head injuries that contributed to any of his issues, I mean, I think to be fair to him, you got to tell it.
So, Aaron Hernandez, every Tuesday night on FX, we go from my numb mouth to Choppy's rear end. With what happened to you yesterday?
Well, it's it did. You confused me with the rear end, but I see where you're going there. I went to the imaging center. It's never good to go to an imaging center, you know, because there's something wrong. And I found, you know, I like to play with myself, and I found a little bit of
that got Peyton's attention.
I found something on my beans that shouldn't have been there.
Like, there you go, what? Catch.
Yeah, right. I was like, what
play
is
away.
It? I'm not like Sandler who just walks around with his hands in his pants all the time.
Does he?
Oh, my God. We stay at the house together. Yeah. He'd just be watching TV. But, you know, they're always down. My hands are almost always down there. I'm like Al Bundy. And
Me too, to be honest.
What?
Me too, to be honest.
So I just found something. I was like, ooh, that doesn't belong there. That's like a lump. It's like a pea-sized lump. So to the doctor. And
by the way, you are, in my opinion, you were the show's hypochondriac. Bobby has now like lapped you 8 times, but you'd like to find a good excuse to go to any doctor too.
I mean, look, when I go and I think something might be wrong. I'm very like early detection, right? I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I'd rather know something's wrong than just ignore it. But
which, by the way, when you just said that, I immediately put my hand out. I was like, "Do I have a lump?"
Yeah. So I go into this imaging center, and this sweet old lady is my sonogram tech. And I mean, this can't be a great thing for her. You know, you got some dude's bag down there, just up on a table, and you're. Thank goodness they warmed the gel. That could have been bad. So she's doing her thing, and at this moment, she tells me like tense your stomach up, like bear down, because we want some blood to rush into it.
Am I the only one? This is gonna haunt me. I already know it's gonna haunt me. I went in for like I wanted to get like moles checked. Like, Ollie had,
I haven't done that yet.
Eczema, like, I wanted, sure. I needed to take him to a dermatologist. I got these ugly freaking wart, like one or two things on my neck. I'm like, burn those off, freeze those off. And I was hoping it was actually a dude doctor. Am I the only one? I would prefer the dude versus the judgment from a woman while I'm sitting there in my gown or no clothes on or anything like that. Now, if it's a massage, I don't want the dude. But for something like this, or maybe what you were dealing with yesterday, I feel like it's more like, hey, you understand.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
Is that pray the gay away?
I don't think so. I think a male doctor is easier for that sort of thing. Just like I thought when I was doing the therapy thing before Sandler just destroyed that.
Yeah.
When I was doing that, I preferred, like, I was like, I think it'd be easier for me to talk to a female therapist. I don't know that I could have a male therapist for this. So I have my choices of how I want.
Yeah, I never thought about it. Massage is interesting. Like, if it's a deep tissue massage, I want a guy. I want the guy to get deep, like be able to. It's
much you do.
I just their thumbs are so much more strong.
Yeah.
Get an elbow in there, whatever.
Yeah.
But so She's, you know, doing her thing with the sonogram, and she says, "I bear down," and I do
bear down,
and I bear down, and I farted.
Oh,
and just the embarrassment.
No doubt noise.
No doubt. It was a firecracker.
Did you apologize at least?
I was like, she tried to like ignore it. And I was like, I'm sorry. And she's like, dude, you're not the first one to do that.
She said that?
Yeah, you're not the first one.
Smell?
No smell.
Thank gosh for that.
Yep. So that was it. But now, you know, she's like, I don't think anything's wrong. The radiologist take a look at it, but hopefully... Knock on Corey, and we're good here.
Yeah, see,
I don't want to lose a ball.
My hypochondria is so bad that when they say, I don't know, but probably not nothing. It's probably nothing. When I hear, I don't know, but it's probably nothing, what I'm hearing from the doctor is like, what you have is so rare and complex that I can't, in my limited scope of like medical expertise, diagnose what the hell this is. It's probably killing you, and my negligence of... what this is you're not gonna find out, and you're gonna die from it probably.
While I'm over here playing with this lotion, Costco decided that they needed to address the Diddy story.
They clapped back. Now, to be fair, it wasn't really a clap back. It was more like TMZ reached out. It was like, hey, look, we were told the other day that Diddy may have bought bulk baby oil there from Costco.
Yeah.
Maybe they were needing it for the like Choppy's little sonogram thing. Maybe that's what you would buy all that bulk stuff for. But, yeah, spokesperson for Costco says, nah, fam. He definitely did not buy it from us because, as they point out, they don't carry baby oil at Costco.
Really?
We found the one item that Costco does not carry. It says none of the company's U.S. locations carry baby oil.
I'm stunned.
Even though Diddy's attorney told TMZ that the rap mogul might have bought the item in bulk at the members-only warehouse retailer. Says the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. A quick search of the store's site shows there's nothing akin to baby oil offered at Costco. Now, how much was it? It was 1,000, right?
Thousands of bottles.
I want to see bulk baby oil shopping. I want to see, like, just off the internet, what's the most I can buy. It's like 16 bottles.
You would just talk to me in the commercial break. Am I worried about typing certain things in my email? I would not do that if I were you.
I mean,
I would not search that.
Yeah, that's true.
He may have gone straight to Johnson & Johnson and bought that. And not gone to the store. To have 1,000 bottles, I mean, you need shipments. You need pallets.
Yeah.
Cases of this stuff.
All right, Junk Drawer continuing on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, I want to tell you about this. So, do y'all know who John Mellencamp is?
Yes.
Sucking on chili dogs. Outside the taste freeze.
Yeah, so John Mellencamp.
You didn't ask the most important person.
Peyton?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea?
Cherry Bomb.
Cherry Bomb. Do you have any idea who this is?
No idea. I learned his name 7 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, it was probably this morning. I sent you a text. But he's fantastic, right? Went by John Cougar for a little bit. He has stopped now 3 shows in the last 6 months. The first one was...
Miranda Lambert of him.
Yeah, the first one, he started talking politics, and somebody screams out, "We want to hear you play music. We don't care about your politics." He goes back and forth. He starts playing like 10 seconds of, I don't know, Jack and Diane or whatever. And then he stops. It was like, no, we're done. We're leaving. He got all mad, so he left. He just quit the show. Well, now
leave some of his music on.
Yeah, Peyton.
Well, I'm playing out of the same computer. I'm about to play this clip out of, and I can't really do both.
So now the most recent one happens.
Fourth rated market over here.
Most recent one happens, and he's in the middle of a song, and there's a guy in the front row who's being too loud.
What a heck of a dream. How long you said, hey, you in the red hat, why don't you shut the f*** up? You. I'm singing as quiet with the PA system, and you're louder than me. Yeah, I'm talking to you with the red beard. Yeah, you. If you got something to say, come on up here and say it. If not, shut the
So he went back and forth with this guy. He came back and played again, but hello, John Mellencamp going at the guy in the red hat.
Yeah.
Is this likable? Unlikable? Is the guy just being a loud drunk? Is it more political?
I know, like, Kristen would appreciate this. Kristen went, we got to go backstage to a concert one time, and she was standing up there. It's an artist she, like, loves. And so she's standing there. She's like, I can't believe I'm right here. And I guess everybody else who was backstage was used to it or knew the artist or knew people, so they didn't care nearly as much. They're talking throughout the whole thing, and Kristen is ready to fight somebody where she's like, you are ruining this one-time experience for me by talking the whole time. So Kristen would like it if he shut that down.
I wish you could have gone on stage with us with Bret Michaels,
Bobby. Oh, it was great.
It was incredible.
Bret Michaels from Poison?
Yes.
No, the other Bret Michaels.
Well, I don't know. Isn't there a wrestler? No, that's Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, yeah. The Heartbreak Kid.
It was fantastic.
The main event.
All right, Chop, you're going to be very upset about this next one.
Oh, no.
And it's something the libs are doing. Okay, it's the Democrats. Democrats unveil a bill banning in-game sports betting ads and bets on college athletes. So Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut.
Connecticut.
And Representative Paul Tonko from New York. This is the Northeast over here. Have introduced a bill that will ban bets during live sporting events and ban proposition bets on college athletes. They say it's to protect consumers by requiring states that offer sports betting to comply with certain federal standards. So the legislation here addresses a couple things. It intends to address what lawmakers say are public health concerns surrounding the legalization of sports betting and the increase in addiction and advertising and affordability. It says the bill aims to prohibit ads that promote the use of gambling products, show viewers how to gamble, or explain how wagers work. It would also prohibit the use of credit cards for gambling accounts and prevent artificial intelligence from tracking consumers' gambling habits. So AI couldn't like track them and then figure out how to like target them with ads and things like this. But I would think that if you're going to limit an account to the extent of saying like you can't even have a credit card on file anymore for sports betting, that would cause some hiccups for some people.
I don't like. I mean,
Well said.
I don't know why these politicians just want to get involved with our lives. Like, I just don't understand. If I want to bet, let me bet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's similar to the smoking question over the years, where it's like if people want to smoke cigarettes, like, that, let them do whatever it's going to do. Their life. They only get one. Let them do whatever they will with it.
Commercial-free expressway every single day at this time on the home of the Cowboys. Back to the win last night over the Giants. This was a dismantling of Mike Zimmer, not by the Giants, by this guy on national TV. A former head coach tells us how cheap Jerry may really be. Wait till you hear this audio next.